don't you tell me the story of your life?
The story of my life?
We've got 18 hours to kill before we hit New York.
Hey, you guys. I bet you anything that if we find him, we'll get our pictures in the paper. Yeah, we can even be on TV.
Sure.
We'll be heroes. Yeah.
Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemies?
Mark, you have one guess as to what all those movie clips have in common.
Lots of snark.
That is true, but what I was going for was the man behind those films, actor, director, producer, Rob Reiner.
Of course, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, I get it.
These are all classics by the Emmy-winning, Oscar, and Golden Globe-nominated director. Reiner's been in Hollywood all his life. His father is legendary comedian and actor Carl Reiner. His mother is jazz singer Estelle Reiner. And he got his big break as an actor as Michael Meathead Stivic on All in the Family.
I swear I think you do these things sometimes just to eat my heart out. And that's what you do, you know. Little by little, piece by piece, you eat my heart out. I don't care. Well, you're not going to get away with this.
What are you going to do about it?
This. Watergate.
After that, Reiner made a name for himself as a director, racking up hits like This is Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, A Few Good Men, and yes, The Princess Bride, and When Harry Met Sally.
Reiner is in Arizona this weekend to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Sedona International Film Festival. And our co-host Lauren Gilger got the chance to chat with him ahead of the event.
I wonder what you consider a classic, because so much of what you've done has turned into classics 20 or 30 years later. Did you ever have a sense at the time that these, you know, would become so beloved that they would become classics?
You never know. When you're making a picture, you don't know what's going to stand the test of time, what's going to last. And I guess that's what classics are, things that, you know, over the decades, people still watch them and still enjoy it. But you don't know when you start out. You never know. I mean, you hope you're making something that people will connect with. And, you know, if they happen to connect with it and you've tapped into something that's, you know, kind of universal on a human level, then I guess they last.
What do you think it is looking back on them that makes things like When Harry Met Sally or Stand By Me or your work on All in the Family? What do you think makes them timeless? Like, what are the things that make them still resonate?
I think the main thing is that they connect to something very universal and basic and human in all of our experiences. I mean, I look at a film like either It's a Wonderful Life or The Wizard of Oz, which are two of my favorite films. They're both classics. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is, I mean, you look at a film like, you know, like Wizard of Oz, and essentially it's about somebody who is lost and has to go on a journey to find their heart, their courage, their mind. And once they have themselves, they feel comfortable about being at home, you know, which is who they are. And I think that's something that everybody goes through. We all go through searching, wanting, our, you know, to know what our identity is and all of those things. So, I mean, in the films that I've made, you know, you don't know. But, I mean, you try to do something like in When Harry Met Sally, you know, is it a basic thing of men and women? I mean, what is that dance that happens between men and women? And if you touch on some things that resonate with people and it's basic human, you know, experience, then it lasts, I guess.
So I have to ask you one question about When Harry Met Sally, because it's just my favorite movie. So celebrated its 30th anniversary just last year. And I learned in reading about this that you changed the ending of the film while filming it. Can you tell us that story?
I mean, the original script we had was that, you know, when Harry and Sally meet each other a number of years later and they, you know, strike up a conversation. And then at the end, they just walk in opposite directions and they, you know, that's that. And, you know, I had been single for 10 years when I made the film and I couldn't figure out how I was ever going to get with anybody again, you know? And so that's what I thought. And then, you know, I meet Michelle, you know, when we were making the film, and then I said, oh, I get this now. I get this. And so, you know, we changed it. We had the scene that we shot where Billy runs into the, you know, the New Year's Eve party, mm-hmm. and gives that speech.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
It was your own life experience that pushed you in a happier direction there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, the whole film was based on that. It was all based on, you know, the 10 years that I had spent, you know, single after being married for 10 years and making a mess of my personal dating life. I couldn't figure out how to get with anybody, you know, so you know, it came out of a very real place.
You're the son of Hollywood legends, and you have been in and around this industry your entire life then, I'm sure. I wonder how you see the kind of changes that are taking place in Hollywood now, especially as you look at Me Too and some of the big shifts that are happening.
I mean, you know, Me Too is an important movement, and we're having a very important dialogue about what constitutes, you know, harassment and sexism and misogyny and all that. And that's an important dialogue to have at any time. Mm-hmm. The big shift that I see in Hollywood and in making films or making television shows is that we're also very fragmented as an audience. It's hard to reach a big audience because there's, you know, there's something like 500 television shows and over 60 outlets that you can find things. People don't watch things at the same time, so they don't have a shared experience. Mm. I mean, when we were doing All in the Family, there were only three major networks, and there was no, you know, DVR, no TiVo or anything like that. If you wanted to see the show, you had to watch it when it was on.
Yeah.
And we were a country of 200 million people, and on any given night on a Saturday, 40 to 45 million people would be watching the show and sharing that experience. Now, if you have a hit show, if you can get 10 million people to watch, that's a big deal. And like I say, there's so many channels. Like, you'll say a show that you love, and I may love that show too, but we can't talk about it because don't tell me I'm only on episode two, or
right.
I'm only on the first season, you know. So everybody's a spoiler alert to everybody else, so you can't ever talk about the show.
There are implications of that, though, right? Like, I wonder what you think about what, first of all, maybe what that says about where we are as a culture right now, but also where that leads us. Like, are we ever going to be able to have classics like the ones you made in the future?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's interesting you think about that because we're so separated. You know, technology is supposed to bring us together, but what it does is we're all in our little silos, in our little, you know, cubby holes of information and entertainment. So we're fragmented. The society is less communicative and more fragmented, I think, than it was before. You had people standing at the water cooler, you know, talking about things that they shared. It started in the movies. You know, you'd have a movie experience where you're in the theater with people and actually sharing that experience. And television came along and everybody said, well, that's the end of that, you know. But now we're way beyond that, to where people are not having those kinds of shared experiences. And I think that's not so good for us as a society. I think it's rough. It doesn't bring us together, that's for sure.
Yeah. So last question for you then, and along those lines, do you think in light of that, in light of this kind of fragmentation, you as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, can still kind of tell those universal stories and strike some kind of chord with people that will continue to resonate and maybe bring us together in some small way?
Well, you know, I don't know. All I know is that you learn to embrace the experience of making the movie or making the television show. You have to enjoy that, and because you don't know what is going to either resonate or what is going to be embraced by people. So you have to take pleasure in the doing, in the making of something. And, you know, the world will decide what lasts and what doesn't last.
Yeah. All right. Rob Reiner, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to see you people in Sedona. I love Sedona.